is risen indeed.
He's done this before. A couple of you have been around for a couple of Easters. That's good. Some of you more than others. Just saying, Roy. You know, that's a good thing. We are going to have a special treat for you today. We've got the drama team doing a reprise from 1999. Can you believe it? We put this thing together. Doug put this together. No, can't have the Easter basket yet, James. It's not over, man. We've got to sit through the whole thing. So sorry. Hi, Kenza. Really looks so nice today. What's up with that? The only reason I'm wearing a shirt with a collar is because my other one had a big stain right here from shaving. So that's my excuse. I don't know what yours is. Maybe it's Easter or something. So we're going to take a look at the passage of Scripture. We're going to bring the drama team up. And then we're going to have a few people share about why Easter is worth celebrating. And then the preaching team will then kind of close with our own comments briefly. Right, Mark?
Very
briefly. Very briefly. That's right. Yes. So let's start with a word of prayer. Take a look at just the Easter story here. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come together and celebrate this day. It is a day that changed history and changed our hearts. God, we look back almost 2,000 years and realize that everything happened on that day. You broke the bonds of death and sin. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we are here, that we are people of Easter, people of new life, people of the risen Christ, the living Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." We don't know where. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
You must be Ethel, right?
I am.
Because I saw the sign outside that said, Ethel's Easter Emporium. Yes,
right.
Exactly right, yes. And you know what? Glad to meet you, Ethel.
Oh,
my name is Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Glad you're here.
Now, I need to let you know, I am a holiday nut. All right? I just go bonkers for the holidays, okay?
I would never have guessed.
And I know that Easter, you know, the big day, so I have put away, I have taken the remains of the turkey and I stored it in the Halloween trick-or-treat bags, stuffed those away into the closet. I have taken all of the bottle rockets for 4th of July. I have taken the bottles I was going to use to light them off in, the green that had the green beer in them, okay? And I put them into heart-shaped boxes, and I put all those away.
Okay.
I am ready for Easter, okay? But there's one catch. I have no clue what Easter is about. So I'm going to need some help on this one. And it just seemed like you were the right person. This is the right place. Instruct me, please.
Well, it's clear that you do love holidays.
I do love.
So it's good for you to know about the most important of all the holidays.
Well, now, hold on a second, because Hallmark and American Greetings, they say Christmas is going to be your prime holiday, followed closely by Valentine's Day.
Okay, I love Christmas, and Christmas is wonderful, but it's only the beginning. Easter is the culmination, the triumphant conclusion.
Triumphant conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so where does all the stuff come into it? Because if this is a holiday, there's got to be stuff, right?
Well, I don't really have any stuff.
Let me tell you about stuff.
Stuff. Okay.
Absolutely. Easter is all about the stuff.
Stuff, see?
You have to have the Easter grass.
Easter grass.
It lays below everything. It is the foundation for everything, and it comes in many colors. It comes in green and blue and pastels and red and pink.
Is it steroid treated or something? What?
Oh, no. It's paper or cellophane, but that's not important. You have to have the Easter grass.
Easter grass, okay.
And then on top of the Easter grass, you add the eggs.
Eggs.
Easter eggs.
Okay,
you have chocolate, you have cream filled,
uh-huh.
You have peanut butter filled,
uh-huh.
You have sugar eggs, you have hand-blown eggs,
uh-huh.
You have cooked eggs that you dip in dye, and you have multiple ways of making those.
Uh-huh.
And then, on top of that, you have the Easter bunny.
Bunny, yeah.
Chocolate, fuzzy,
uh-huh.
All the bunnies,
uh-huh.
All put together,
okay.
In the cellophane in one big basket, which we call the Easter basket,
okay.
Which then you share with your family, your little ones, your
okay.
children.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to need one basket, 8 dozen Cadbury cream eggs, and 3 children. To
that's
go.
Just about to go.
Okay, now, Joe, sorry, I don't have any of that stuff here.
You don't have Easter stuff?
No, not that kind of Easter stuff.
I'm going to have to look further into this.
Okay, so what then? What? Tell me, apparently it's not about the stuff.
Well, no, it's not about the stuff.
But there is Easter stuff, right?
Well, sure.
She talked about a bunch of stuff, right?
And I love those pretty eggs. Have you seen those tulips?
Oh,
that
pretty,
look
yes.
Just exactly like an Easter egg
don't,
on the end of a stem. I mean,
yeah,
they're beautiful.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I do some of the stuff things
mm-hmm.
for Easter already. I painted my house a lavender color.
Oh, your neighbors must love you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They get that for about 2 or 3 months, then it's red, white, and blue. I'm all set.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
But if it's not about all the stuff.
No.
Then what are we talking about then?
Well,
some reason for the stuff.
Well, obviously. I remember I told you that Christmas was the beginning and Easter is the culmination, the triumphant conclusion.
Yes.
It's all about Jesus.
Okay.
And how on Easter he proved that he was God and that he could give you a new life. He could give you a relationship with God and forgiveness of sin, but it's all about Jesus.
So the eggs are kind of a new life thing that's kind of pointing to new life.
Yeah.
Easter's about new life.
It's a bit of a stretch in some of the chocolate, although I love the chocolate Cadbury
eggs.
Oh,
who doesn't?
Oh, my
uh-huh.
goodness.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But yes, Jesus, new life.
New life. Okay. This.
Mm-hmm.
What's that smell?
Oh, Joe.
Something smells like B.O. Marijuana. Patchouli.
Oh, wow, man. Hey, you know, I was just grooving on what you're saying to you about the Jesus guy up, you know?
Yes.
That's old school, man. That's like 2,000 years old. You know?
Old but ever new, yes.
Well, you know, you gotta time and get in with the times, man. My name's Vernal Equinox.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. You are into the
all the way, man. Oh, yeah, I had my name changed. I'm so into this, you know?
Okay.
I mean, I like to get my special compound, if you know what I mean. And I like to sit in the damp grass and the flowers. They sing to me sometimes.
I'll bet they do.
And you got to experience. And I take a shower like every 6 months because I want clean water for the little flowers, man.
So you're really into earth.
Yeah. Yes.
So what you're saying then is that Easter is kind of a prelude to Earth Day?
Yeah, exactly, man.
All right, I'm going to need about 5 dozen trees and a bag of Doritos.
Okay, well, I don't have any of that stuff here. Sorry, Joe.
I'm going to go over and see if I can find something in your natural food aisle.
Okay, you do that.
But, man, you're missing out.
Okay.
Just saying.
Do you have a natural food aisle?
No. I don't, but he'll never know.
New Life is what you were saying. New Life.
Yes, New Life.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about what's going on there with that.
Easter is the important conclusion, but it started in Christmas, and then on Good Friday.
Good Friday. There's a name I know. That's where everybody goes shopping. It's the day after Thanksgiving and get up at midnight.
No. Good Friday is specifically about Jesus because that's the day that he died.
Why is it good?
Well, it didn't seem like it at the time, but because he died, then he could pay the price for covering all of our sins.
Okay.
And then on Easter, when he rose from death, he proved that he had the power to do that.
Whoa, that's huge.
Yeah.
Okay, but how did he die? What's the deal there? Were they slip on the soap or something? Get hit by a bus? What happened?
Listen, it was an awful, a grisly death that Jesus died. Absolutely grisly.
Excuse me, but not even the most rabid of fundamentalists believe Jesus was mauled to death by a grizzly bear.
Did you like me?
I didn't say that. I said grizzly as in ugly, gruesome, horrible.
Okay. You know, I have short-term memory issues, but she did say that. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously have some interest in these Jesus myths. I'd be glad to obliterate any misconceptions you might have.
He's contradicting you. Please,
yes,
tell me more.
Yes.
Well, for example, Jesus never died. He was merely swooning from the blood loss, obviously.
Okay.
And then thanks to the coolness of the tomb and the spices he was wrapped in, he woke up 3 days later.
Okay, so I'm going to need some of these magical spices. It sounds like they're better than 5-hour energy.
No, listen. Are you really trying to suggest that a man who was beaten half to death by Roman soldiers and then crucified, to say nothing of the spear through the heart, swooned?
Well,
and then woke up and pushed a humongous stone out of the way?
I actually have a theory about that isn't technically accepted in the scientific community, but I believe that because of the gamma radiation he used to heal people, whenever Jesus got angry, he would turn into a 7-foot-tall rage monster.
So now he's Jesus Hulk?
Whoa, I never said Hulk. This is not a comic book. I don't think you're taking me very seriously. Can you just point me in the direction of the books that contradict your opinion?
Well, as a matter of fact, I
don't... You know what? I wouldn't even believe you if you told me.
That sounded a little fishy.
Well, don't you think Roman soldiers could recognize death if they needed to?
I would think so, yes. But what does all this mean? Okay, so Jesus dies, he rises from the dead. That's good and everything, but a holiday? Really?
Oh, come on! What's not to celebrate? Because Jesus rose from death, he conquered death. We don't have to be afraid of it anymore. we can have a relationship with God because our sins can be forgiven. We can have everlasting life in heaven with Jesus after this life is over. What is not to celebrate?
So a relationship with God?
Yes.
A personal relationship with God?
Yes. Jesus opened the way for that.
Excuse me. I couldn't help but notice here, overheard, I couldn't help it.
Yes.
That this young man seemed to be a little confused, need a little direction in the Easter department.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, he's been asking questions.
I don't want to brag, but I'm kind of an expert in that area.
Oh, good, yeah. Good,
I assume you have your suit at home.
A suit?
Yes.
I got a jumpsuit on.
You don't have a suit.
Like a suit with a tie?
Yes, like a suit with a tie. I don't know how you expect to go to church without a suit.
I'm gonna need a suit. Six buttons or five?
Six.
Six buttons.
Okay. Forget about the suit for a second. Okay, you're going to church, and afterwards you're hosting a dinner for your family.
I'm gonna have dinner, yes. I have it seven times a week, yes.
No. Okay.
I think she's referring to something a little different.
Okay, now, is it too much to ask that you've cured the ham for your hosted family dinner?
Was it sick? I just saw him this morning. He was running around and squealing just fine.
Okay, are you having family over for dinner? Okay, because you're supposed to have ham, you're supposed to have scalloped potatoes, you're supposed to have green bean casserole.
With French fried onions on top.
You know, I don't know how you expect to do this properly.
Supposed to have all that?
Yes. These are things you should do.
For me? For who?
No, have you called your mother lately?
My mother is dead! I don't have a mother! I need a mother! She died! She was showering in the street!
Oh, come on.
Well, she might not be dead if you called her.
If you called her, once in a while.
Do you have a mother? I need a mother!
Well, yes, I have a mother, but no, I don't have any here for sale.
What?
So,
what do you sell here?
Actually, nothing. I don't sell anything.
She doesn't sell anything.
Huh. Well, it did seem a little empty while we were shopping for the past 20 minutes.
Maybe it was you, man.
Well, you know, I really don't know how I'm supposed to be better than all of you guys if I don't have the things I need.
Better than all of us?
Whoa. Better than all of us?
You need to just mellow out, man.
You people, stop! Goodness gracious. Please, look across the out the window here, across the street. You see over there, Holiday Supply and Hemp Emporium.
Whoa!
I bet they have the grass that's right.
Absolutely!
Oh!
Hi!
You're still here?
I'm still here. I've been over there. In fact, I go over there for all the other holidays, but this one actually, you don't have anything in here, but you seem to have more than they have.
Yeah, and you seem to have some more questions, maybe?
Yeah.
And you'd like to talk about this?
Could we? Yeah.
All right, say, there's a great little ravioli shop down the street. Let's go have some raviolis and talk about Jesus and Easter.
I think we're supposed to have ham, that's what she said.
Joe, you have not been listening.
Ravioli, okay. We'll do ravioli. All right.
Backwards between 2 and 3 minutes to tell why Easter was worth celebrating to me, and therefore I have only one half a page of notes. Okay. Even as a kid, I remember feeling this anticipation and joy on Easter morning that somehow exceeded even Christmas. And it wasn't the eggs and the candy. I mean, that was fun, but that was an order of magnitude less than the Santa stuffed stocking. So there has to have been something a little more than that. It was, even then, there was something in me that just breathed a sigh of relief and smiled a bit bigger and said, everything's going to be all right now. And, you know, I bring up that big December holiday intentionally because it struck me recently that we only sing Noel at Christmas. And that's, Christmas was just the opening gambit. It was not until Easter that God's victory in this desperate, dangerous, insane plan to conquer sin was confirmed. It was not until Resurrection Sunday that we can truly all step back and say at the top of our voices, now all is well. And that's what Easter continues to mean to me. It's not just an academic fact and a historic event, an interesting story. It is all those things, but it's much more. It's the central tenet of my faith, my comfort in the dark times. It's the hope that makes even the good times have some meaning beyond the moment. It's promise of life after death. It's my assurance that I'm going to meet again those people who have gone before me. It's my guarantee of forgiveness and the proof of God's power to grant it. It's the light at the end of the tunnel and the happy ending to the fairy tale. It's hope and peace all wrapped up in the same package. It's that wonderful, all but impossible to believe truth that I have to be reminded of every single day. No matter how dark it looks, God has it under control and everything is going to be all right. Because now, all is well.
Dave Bowler, making his way to the front. So, I don't have any notes because this was supposed to be on video. Unfortunately, there was a technical difficulty in that I didn't actually shoot the video. So, I had a pretty different experience growing up. Easter was probably the worst of the holidays to celebrate. It always started off with sunrise service, which, unfortunately, is at sunrise. And, that if it wasn't that, we actually would go out on a bluff where we could see the sunrise during the service. And it frequently was about 20 below. So it's just not fun. And then your Easter egg hunts, you go out there and we were hunting for eggs that were hard boiled. There was no candy. So not so much fun there. So why is Easter of, any interest at all? That's the time at which it's established that we can be forgiven for what it is we've done. And we all have different things. I mean, Kathy's got stuff that she feels terrible about, even though we'd all blink and say, what was that? That's what established that we can be restored in a relationship to God. And that ends up being fundamental to everything else in my life.
Bethy has notes.
So thinking through why Easter is important, the first thing that happens is a parade of Easter memories. I'm sure we all do that. And for me, there was this very traumatic tradition that happened every year, and that was Easter dress shopping. And if you know me, you know that I'm not a girly girl. I don't really like dresses. But if you were to sit down with my mom, you would think I'm a big liar, because what do we have? A picture every year, because you don't just go shopping for dresses, and of course they're always girly, foofy dresses, but you have to take family pictures. So if you sat with my mom, you'd see me in all these fluffy, lace, foofy bows, and stuff like that. And you'd think, what do you mean you don't like dresses? I think the most traumatic one was the year of the pink lace with the matching pink lace hat. And to make it worse, my sister had an identical outfit in purple. And as you see, I am not wearing a dress. I'm in black and white, my favorite colors. But for those of you that think Easter requires color, I have purple toenails. And I sparkle. And that's all you get. The first thing that came to mind about why we celebrate Easter. I mean, obviously Easter is very important, all the reasons that have already been shared, but why celebrate it? And for me, I get so focused on the daily grind that I need things up in my face where I can't get around them in order to be reminded sometimes of what's important. So for me, celebrating Easter is a reset on perspective. The resurrection itself is a part of what I've come to think of as a circle. I had a friend years ago who gave a sermon, and he wasn't the regular pastor, but for some reason his sermon inspired me in a way that very few have. And he talked about how we were created, God made us to be with him. That was our purpose, was to be with him. And that everything that has gone on since then is to get us back with him. And for me, just picturing that whole circle gives me a purpose. I was meant to be with God. I was so inspired by that sermon that I wrote a song on it. And it came up so often to me, and God used it so often to reset my perspective that I even had Aaron ink it on my ankle. So it's a good reset on my perspective on what is important. It gives me a reason to get up in the morning on the hard days. It keeps me moving forward when I'm exhausted. It gives me my identity as a child of God. It gives me purpose to be with him. It makes me want to tell others why I have hope. It makes me want to love the way Jesus loves me. It makes me want to live in such a way that the world around me and the lives I touch are better for me having been in them, just as my life is better because Jesus is in it. I'm not very good at it, but that perspective reset keeps me trying one day at a time.
Well, you'll be glad to know I've been instructed to keep it short. All the credit goes to him. Forget about me. So, I want to talk about the resurrection and temptation. I have struggled with sin. I tell people sometimes the stuff I pulled before I got saved, is nothing compared to this stuff I've pulled since I got saved. And I have experienced the pull of the world and the flesh and the devil on me. And I've gotten to places in my struggle with sin where I just was so desperate to get free of the bondage that I was in that I let Jesus into those secret places in my heart, that there was so much shame and such a pressure to keep everything secret and keep everything under wraps lest people find out what was really going on in here. And I have experienced in the resurrection of Jesus the power one day at a time to win those battles. I haven't always won, but every time I have drawn on the power of Jesus' resurrection in my struggle with temptation, I have won. And the other thing that I want to talk about is the resurrection and the future. There are signs that Christians in this culture at this time may be heading into a period of suffering. I hope it doesn't happen, but there are signs that it may, and Scripture admonishes the people of God to be prepared for such times. When we look too much at the world, it looks like the devil is winning, doesn't it? If we just go by appearances, it looks like the bad guys are winning, doesn't it? And yet, the resurrection lets us know in advance who has already won. And like Bethy was saying, we need to have that as a reset when we get up in the morning. And the Bible tells us that there is a time coming where it's not only going to look like the devil is winning, it's going to look like he has already won. It's going to look like it's all over. And God is looking for a people whose faith in the historical fact of Jesus' resurrection will overcome the way everything looks. And that will be the people for whom Jesus will return. Amen.
So I got to tell you, sometimes the world feels completely out of control. Sometimes it feels like I'm never going to get to where I need to be, that all the stuff that comes down on me is never going to get fixed. I'm never going to be able to get through something. Sometimes in my life, things have felt so dark that I just didn't think there was any hope at all. But the beauty of Easter is that it shows the power of God over everything. Jesus rose from the dead. That's something nobody can do. Nobody but God. Nobody has that kind of power. And that's the God that loves me. Even when I am in the darkest, deepest, craziest place where I can't see any way out and it feels like I just need to give up completely. And the cool thing is that I can. And that I need to. That I need to give up completely to Him. Because He's the only one that has the control over my life, over your life, over the world. And that's where I have my hope, and that's the hope for me of Easter.
So, turns out that without Easter, God's a little bit lame and Jesus is a bad teacher. You know, it just seems like you read the Bible and it starts out well. I mean, God makes the world and it's pretty rad. And He wanders around in a garden with Adam and Eve and talks to them and it's pretty cool. And then we have this fall thing and from that point on, it's pretty lame. You know, like people just are in a bad spot. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And there's this, I mean, there's a few bright spots, but mostly it's kind of a tragedy. You know, the whole Bible's kind of this tragic story of people just screwing up. without Easter, Jesus is a bad teacher. I mean, we spent an inordinate amount of time going through the Sermon on the Mount, you know, the one verse a week kind of preached through the Bible in 27 years kind of pace. And I don't know if any of you guys have actually tried to do any of that stuff that Jesus talks about. Turns out it's tough. And then it turns out the one guy who actually did it, you know, Jesus actually did practice what he preached. I know we aren't used to that around here anyway. But, you know, he practiced what he preached, and what happened to him? I mean, the guy lived this itinerant life wandering around in the wilderness with 12 kind of lame guys. You know, honestly, they weren't exactly the shining paragons of joy in history. You know, and he suffers betrayal from one of his closest friends, and he's killed by an imperialist power for political reasons that are stupid. I mean, if you actually look at the history, it's pretty weak. The arguments, I mean, even by Roman standards, Jesus' trial was a farce. I mean, it's awful. And then he ends up being crucified and killed gruesomely. And so, you know, you begin to wonder, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then, you know, what am I doing? I mean, why am I bothering? Why am I beating my head against the wall trying to actually practice all of this stuff in daily life? Because it's tough. And other people don't value it. You know, I don't value it when other people try and do it. You know, I look at them and go, man, you know, you need to look out for number one a little bit more. Because, you know, otherwise people are just going to walk all over you like you're some sort of dish rag. So it's tough to try and do that. But then we do have Easter. And I like the word vindicate. Vindicate's a cool word. Because it starts with a V. And it sounds a little bit violent, which also starts with a V. But you have this event that retroactively turns the entire story all the way back to the garden on its head. And you have this moment when Jesus rises from the dead, and that whole thing where he talks about coming so that we might have abundant life suddenly comes into focus, and you say, oh yeah, it works. It works. The whole story becomes good. The whole thing. Jesus' life isn't awful anymore, and he's not a bad teacher, and God's not lame. That something has been fixed when Jesus rises from the dead. And I love that we read the passage out of John, because there's this instance where Mary looks at Jesus and mistakes him for the gardener. I don't think it was a mistake. Because in that moment, after the resurrection, God is walking in the garden again. I get emotional about this because creation is so important to me. Before the service, I was sitting out on the benches out there, you know, just staring at the grass and the water and thinking, it can all be brought back to the way it was supposed to be. I don't have to live in a world where my job has to define me. I can live in balance with the world the way it was supposed to be. Creation can be repaired. And the resurrection began that repair. And it will finish it.
So it's Easter, and this is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's about the event that is central to our faith, the triumph of life over death, the hope and promise of victory over the ravages of our fallen nature and a fallen world. And anyone who is paying the slightest amount of attention can see that our world is messed up. Paying attention? The world's messed up. There's evil people. There's cheaters. There's liars. Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
People cheat, lie, and they even abuse, and they murder. And even nature doesn't play nice. The world's messed up. Tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes. But it gets more personal. If you're truly observant, you might notice your own capacity for cheating, lying, hurting, destroying. And we need someone to save us from this. We need someone to reverse the fall, to bring hope and healing to our world, and to me, to you. Our central point of unity is a resurrected Christ, the promise of life. If our mission is to celebrate our traditions, to pat ourselves on the back for our superiority over other denominations or other believers, or even if our point of unity is to be a noble people who embrace and support peacemaking, it's simply not enough. We might as well be a fraternal organization. I think Oddfellows would be appropriate. But it's not something I can get behind celebrating. It's just not enough. Thankfully, we celebrate something greater than that. You see, Jesus came to do more than just set an example, more than to just teach us how to do good things. He came to give us life, to actually deal with the root of the problem. Death entered the world. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were separated from God, and that is ultimately what death is. It is separation from the source of life, our Creator, God. And when we're separated from that source of life, things go terribly wrong. Death entered the world, but Jesus cleared the way back to God, our life. Mark mentioned that God is pretty lame if the resurrection isn't true. It just seems like it all goes south in a hurry. Like you said, you read the Old Testament, you go, wow, you guys are failures. We would never do anything that stupid.
In fact, the passage says, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. And see, we're not talking about just the Sisyphean life. The life, the repetitive, pointless, vain, and exhausting, rolling the stone up the hill until it rolls right back down. And we do it again, like laundry, Beth would say. It's not that kind of life. It's life as it was meant to be. Life from God, our Creator, purposeful, joyful, challenging, rewarding, and never dull. That is the resurrected life that we can enjoy now and certainly in the future, the one that gives us hope. It is victory. It is new life. It is victory over sin and death. And it's the mission to share that life. That is our purpose and our hope, to show and tell everyone around us the good news that death does not win. Jesus' resurrection promises life to all who will come to him for it. And I can get behind that. I can celebrate that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us life, for having victory over death and evil and sin, and demonstrating that by rising from the dead and promising us that life now and for eternity. God, help us to find our life in you, not in the empty ways that it's tempting to seek it, but in you. For you are life and the source of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Oh, see if we got some footage. I guess it was.